Welcome to the Heart Zone, featuring George Cannon. This broadcast is a time of teaching and encouragement from Curwensville Christian Church. For more information, we invite you to visit us on the web at www.curwensvillechristian.org. And now for a message from the Heart Zone. Here's George Cannon.
All right, folks, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We want to get back into our series talking about living in the last days. And I think that's really appropriate because we live in different times and there are so many confusing things that are out there trying to tell you what you need to be doing as a believer and where your focus needs to be, whether it's politically or not politically, whether it's doing this or doing that. And you kind of have this sense in which, like, I got so many competing voices, and let's be honest, there's many competing voices. What do I do? How do I make it through these times where it just seems weird, different? What is God calling me to do where there's like black clouds on the horizon? How do I keep from getting depressed? How do I move forward? And I think looking at 2 Timothy is probably the most appropriate place to look at, because we're looking at possibly, that we know of, the last letter of the Apostle Paul. He wrote this letter to his son in the faith, Timothy, which, by the way, Timothy at this point is probably 40 years old. And it's from a man who knows, Paul, who knows that he's going to die. This is his final letter. So Timothy, pay attention to what I'm going to tell you. You and I, let's pay attention, because he's going to tell us how to live from a man who's going to be facing the executioner's sword in an era where it isn't Christian and they're hunting Christians. And he's telling him what to focus on. And we've looked at that. We've looked at where he's told us to cherish the investment that people have made in our lives spiritually, right? And how to act on that investment. And he told us about moving forward in our Christian life. And so now when we get to verses 8 through 13, he's going to talk about the perspective we need to have. An eternal perspective. And I think this is so appropriate for you and I today. Because let's be honest, our tendency when things get uncomfortable is to self-focus. Is preservation. Whatever the means are. Our tendency is to focus in, how do I keep things the way they are, when reality is you really don't have any control. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you're talking about a man who's writing this, who's knowing that at some point, some guard is going to come in and take him and cut his head off. And so he's communicating here the perspective we need to have, and it's going to come out here. Paul's going to give you the perspective. So no matter what's happening, either through good times, and we still enjoy those, or bad times because clouds are on the horizon, he talks about the perspective you and I need to have. Let's look at verse 8. We're going to look at 6 verses here, verses 8 through 13. Here's what Paul says, after telling him to move forward in his walk, in his ministry, in his life. He tells him in verse 8, he says, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain salvation that is in Christ Jesus for eternal glory. This saying is trustworthy, for if we died with him, we also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. All right, folks, here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about an eternal perspective from Paul's perspective. This is what he's trying to communicate to Timothy Folks, this is what he's trying to communicate to you and I. So whether you're a young person or an older person, at the end of your life or just beginning your life as an adult, he's trying to tell you how to live because you have no guarantees how this world's going to be. Nothing is a guarantee. But what you can have is a perspective of how to face it. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at his primary focus, what needs to be our primary focus. We're going to look at the present reality, talking about Paul, and by the way, sounds like us. And then we're going to see the perspective. So let's look. Verse 8, the primary focus. Look at what he says. It's so easy, you and I could almost blow past it and not really ponder it. But that's what we want to do, is we want to think about what he's saying here. Look at what he says, verse 8. He says, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. Here's what he's saying to you and I. Keep your focus upon Christ. Keep your focus on Jesus Christ. No matter what's going on in your life, keep your focus on Jesus. Now, I understand because I live life like you do, and good things happen, and a lot of times bad things happen. And sometimes it seems like when it rains, it pours. Now, we just experienced that last week, didn't we? But sometimes life is like that. Sometimes life just pours out one problem after another, and you're like sitting to yourself and you're saying, like, when is this going to end? When can I breathe? And what happens in those moments, we forget things. What do you mean we forget things? Well, the first thing we forget is who we belong to, who our Lord is. We forget Jesus. Do you understand? Because the circumstances and the problems that are going on become greater than anything else in our world. Actually, what we have, can I be honest with you, it's not that they become greater, it's that we develop tunnel vision because it's the only thing we see. Do you understand? So it's kind of like when you're driving around in our area here and you pass an Amish buggy, have you noticed the horses have a blinder on their side so that they keep their focus, what, forward? That's kind of like us. When we got a problem going on, we put our blinders on and all we see is the difficulty. And Paul is telling Timothy as he's writing him, he's saying, look, keep your focus. That's what remember there means. It's not just, oh, I remember. No, you need to keep your focus on Jesus. Keep your focus on him. And he didn't just say, keep your focus on Jesus, remember Jesus. He talks about who Jesus is. Look at verse 8 there. He says, risen from the dead, offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. He's pointing out two things here. Here's what I want you to see. Remember who Jesus Christ is and what he did. Remember who he is. Offspring of David. That's a messianic saying there. You're talking about the Messiah. You're talking about the Son of God. We're not talking about the Tooth Fairy here or Santa Claus. We're talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God who reigns. And he's your Lord. Remember who he is and what he did. What did he do? He rose from the dead. Now, you know, we just celebrated Easter, and that is awesome. Before that, we celebrated Good Friday, which that's awesome too, because that's reflective of what? That he paid the price for our sins. But I'm going to be honest with you. The cross means nothing if there's no Easter. Because all throughout history, people have died on crosses, right? Even to this day, there are places that are still putting people on crosses. But the reality of what he said would be accomplished by being on the cross only became truth because he what? Rose from the dead. The reality, folks, he's not just your Lord. He's the one who's what? Forgiven you and given you an inheritance and giving you a hope. Why? Because he rose from the dead. So the first thing is, okay, so your world is collapsing around you. Things are out of control. Things are beyond your thought process. Like, how did it get to this place? How did this happen? What can I do? And you are fearful. You're desperate. And he's come along. Paul's coming along. He said, look, he's the guy who's facing the executioner's sword. He comes along and he says to Timothy, he says to you and I, remember Jesus. Keep your focus on Jesus because of who he is and what he did. And I would even go further and say what he's still doing, right? What he's still doing in your life. Keep your focus. Sometimes I listen to folks, they get so bothered by what's going on in the culture, they get so bothered by what's going on in their lives, they get so bothered, but when I hear them, I don't hear any hope anymore. What do you mean you don't hear hope? I don't hear hope because they've lost the eternal focus, the eternal perspective that there is one who's in control. And he doesn't promise to give you the way you think things should be. He just tells you he's in control and look to him. Do you understand? Reminds me again, another guy in prison, John the Baptist. Here's the things that Jesus is doing. Sends two disciples. John sends a question and says, are you the one or should we look for another? And Jesus said, go back and tell him what you see. And he quotes three passages from Isaiah. The blind are made to see, the lame are made to walk. And it's interesting. And then he says a very interesting statement. Blessed are you who are not offended because of me. I've looked at that for years and I thought, man, what in the world is he saying? That's kind of, I mean, is he the one or not? Then he says, blessed are you because you're not offended because of me. But when you look at the passages he's saying, Jesus left off a part of the verse. He left off when he told, go back and tell John, he left off the part that says, and he sets the prisoners free. And he's saying to John, I'm the one, but you're going to die there. And blessed are you because you're not offended because of me. Do you understand? This is the perspective. He's saying, remember, keep your eyes on Jesus. He is who? He is the Son of David, the Messiah. And what did he do? He rose from the dead. So that brings us then, when we get to verse 9 and 10, Paul's present reality. We're going to look at the way Paul looked at his present reality. Now, before we look at what his present reality is for him, I want you to think about it. What would you do if you were in Paul's place? What would you do if you were languishing, not in a house like he was the first time he was arrested, but in a dungeon where their prison system is not like our prison system, where we feed them, clothe them, where nobody cares. You're in the dungeon. If you're fed, it's because people bring food to you. If you're cold, you only get warm because somebody brought you a blanket. And he's already expressed that he's already been abandoned by other believers at this point. He said that in the first chapter. So he's in a depressing situation. So if you were in that situation, where would your thoughts be? I thought about it for myself. I thought my thoughts would be doom. I would not have my eyes in the right place. And it sure wouldn't be what Paul's saying. Because I want you to notice how he views it. So here, I want you to see it with me. Verse 9, here's what he says. For which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Look at verse 10. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may obtain salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. All right, so there's two things actually here I want you to see. First of all, verse 9, there is an understanding that Jesus is the basis of his suffering. He understands that what he's going through is because of Jesus. That's hard for us to grasp. But can I tell you something? We actually can relate a lot more than we realize. What do you mean, George? Where are you going with this? Well, here's what I want you to understand. I once heard a well-known theologian say that our present suffering is because of our belief in Jesus. And I thought, that's interesting. Where's this guy going with that? He said, you who belong to Christ, did you notice, you ever tell people when they come to Jesus, everything's going to be okay? You ever told people that? Everything's going to be okay when you come to Jesus. Everything's going to be okay. Then you realize they lied to you. It only got worse. Why did it get worse? Because when you came to Jesus, a bullseye was painted on your chest for the attack of the enemy and the world. Who hates who? Jesus. So there is a sense in which when believers, we are prime for problems. And so he has an understanding. Paul has an understanding that the things that he goes through, whether it's sickness, whether it's floggings, whether it's beatings or shipwrecks, I mean, all of these things, nature happening, he understands it is because he is suffering for who? Jesus. So that's his present reality. Here's the second thing I want you to see. Because of he having this perspective, when you look at verse 10, this enables him to endure for the sake of others. Look at what he says in verse 10. He says, therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is what he's saying here. The way we handle it and the perspective we have communicates things to people. See, Paul recognizes that the things he goes through is because he's a follower of Jesus, and then this enables him to endure for the sake of others so that they could come to know who, folks? Christ. Not just come to know Christ, but find strength in Christ. This is part of, you know, I try to tell people church is more than a church service. Church is more than just coming and singing songs. It's being a part of a community. And you're part of a community because when you go through things, you have others who will support you through things. And part of the reason why they support you through things is because they've been through things. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so we endure together so that each of us can what? Grow together in our relationship with Christ. He didn't create us to be islands to ourselves. He created us to be a part of a community, a family. That's why here at the church, it's more than a service. It's a part of a family. And so that's what we see here. So this then brings about the perspective. So here's the perspective that he had, okay? Look with me at verse, it's a saying that he says, a trustworthy saying, verse 11, he said, the saying is trustworthy for, if we have died with him, we also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. All right, I'm going to give you four things about perspective. Four things that you and I need to have as we face these last days. Four things. And when you say last days, Georgia, hasn't it always been the last days? Yeah. But we're in them. Four things, okay? Perspective, all right? First of all, you've been given new life as the old you died with Christ. That's the first part of the statement there. It's actually a creedal statement. Look at what he says there. If you have died with him, we will also live with him. It's actually the same thing as being said by Paul in Romans. When he wrote his letter to the Romans, he said this in chapter 6, verses 3 to 5. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried with him by the baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, that we too might walk in newness of life. For we have been united with him in death like his, we certainly will be united with him in resurrection life like his. So this is the first thing. You realize, okay, the perspective you and I have is, life isn't just now. I've been made new. The old person who was headed to hell, who was all kinds of problems, is now a new person. The moment I gave my heart to him and I was baptized with the Spirit came into my life. The moment I gave my heart to him in salvation, I became new. I became new in him, a new person. And that's the perspective you have to say. Everything else may be falling apart around you, but you're new. You belong to him. In fact, he goes on, next step, he talks about endurance because life isn't easy, right? And you're listening to a guy who knows life isn't easy. Here's what he says. If we endure, we will also reign with him. So here's the point he's making here. He's saying your present endurance will give way to you reigning with Christ. Now notice, he didn't say, if you endure, everything's going to turn out great here. There's no promise of that anywhere in the Bible, that it's going to turn out the way we want it to turn out here. But what he does promise you is this: if you endure, you will reign with him. The blessing will be later on. Now, how can you say that, George? Well, it's interesting. You go over to Revelation, chapters 2 and 3. You got the letters to the seven churches. You look at the end of every one of those letters. It has a promise. And it begins with this: to him who overcomes, I will, and then he gives seven promises. One promise to each one of those seven churches. But notice the first part: to him who overcomes. To him who overcomes. One of the messages of the book of Revelation isn't just what's going to happen later. That's why we read it, right? We're trying to figure out what happens later and who's the Antichrist and who's this and who did that and how do I avoid the mark of the beast. No. You're missing bigger messages there. And the big one is endurance, because they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. What did they overcome? Enduring suffering right now. Enduring a world that they don't like right now. And he promises you things. And here Paul tells us the promise that we have is we will reign with him. You'll be in control. Isn't that what we like right now? We want to be in control, right? Well, when you go to be with Jesus, then you'll have some control. Of course, he will be over you and will be perfect. But this is the reality. Perspective. Endure now, because something better's coming. Here's the third thing. Those who deny and reject him will be rejected by him. Look at what he says. Here he's talking about apostates, about unbelievers, about people who walk away from him. Here's what he said: if we deny him, he will also deny us. This is a reality, folks. Not everybody's going to make it. Do you understand what I'm saying? We like to think so. Every time I go to a funeral, everybody's talking about everybody's going to heaven. But we know better than that, right? Because we have a perspective. We have an eternal perspective. And if you deny Jesus all of your life, he's going to deny you. The fourth one, I think, is important. Look at what he says. Now, he talks in the third one about those who deny him. But here, he's going to move back to his children. And here's what he says: and if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Who's the faithless, George? Well, here's my point. Here's the final thing I want you to see. While you may be found faithless at times, he is forever faithful. What do you mean, George, faithless at times? Oh, hold on a second. Are you telling me you're a perfect Christian with perfect hope and perfect trust? That every situation you face, I'm just trusting you, Jesus, to do this. And maybe you're taking forever to answer this, Lord, but yet I know I have a means where I could try it on my own. I don't take it, Lord, because I am forever faithful. Is that us? No. No, the truth is, we pray, if it doesn't come quick, like McDonald's, which, by the way, is slow these days, so if it doesn't come quick, we look for option B, whatever we decide, right? That's faithlessness, right? If God told us he's going to do something. But see, here's the thing. God's not shocked by that. We think that God is shocked by our mistakes and our sins. He's not shocked by that. He went to the cross for them. He went to the cross for our past sins, our present sins, our future sins. He knows all things. But here's the promise that he gives. While we may be found faithless at times, and we will, here's one thing you can count on. He is forever faithful. Why? Because he cannot deny himself. When you became his child and he paid the price, Jesus paid the price for your sins, you became his child. He understands. That's why we get to my favorite psalm, Psalm 37. You guys should have this etched on a tattoo on your arm or something. Verse 23 and 24, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in them. God is ordering your life and he delights in you. Now get to the next verse, 24. Though he yet stumble. Now that word stumble there isn't just tripping over a cord or something in the rug. It's sin. Though he sin, though he fall into sin, he will not utterly be cast down. Why? Because the scripture says, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. And I've shared with you, when I think of that, I think about my kids learning to walk. And there was Lori and I, and I'm holding them, they're holding on to my fingertips, and there's the coffee table. I'm just not letting them dot along and smack the coffee table. I'm right there ready to what? Catch them so that they don't face plant into the corner, right? This is the Lord. So listen to me. What do we do with this? Where do we go with this, George? How do we wrap this up? Here it is. Okay, listen to me. The world is nuts. It doesn't make sense. In fact, if you turn the craziness off for 2 days, when you turn it back on, there's more craziness. Do you understand? That's just the way it is right now. And you can get so despairing with what's happening. Could it be you have blinders on? Could it be that you and I have blinders on? And that we've lost perspective? And perspective is knowing truth that is true no matter what happens around us. And perspective is keeping my eyes, my focus, remembering who Jesus, who he is and what he did. And because of that, I endure for the sake of others so that they too can come to know Jesus. Why? Because there are certain truths that are reality that I keep in perspective, and that is what? That in Christ, I have died and became new. That if I endure, I will reign with him. Those who deny him will not have a part. And even when I'm faithless, what? He is faithful to me. That, my friends, is perspective. That's the eternal perspective. And it's from the words of a man who will later say in this very letter we're reading, I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. May that be said of us when we're facing eternity. I have kept the faith.
Hi, folks. This is George. I want to thank you for listening this morning, and I want to tell you about a free app that you can get for your mobile device that will allow you to access all the materials and information you need about our church in one device. Simply go to your app store on your Android or Apple device and search for Kerwinsville Christian Church. The app is free, and what you'll find there is everything you need to know, plus all the teaching from our church as well as this program. And we hope that you will utilize that in your search for Christ. Until next week, folks, take care and may the Lord bless you.